Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Training and development is important. As a business, it is an investment in yourself and your staff. Personally, it goes without saying that it's important to keep a keen mind or your mind keen, whichever way you want to look at it. And one way to be thinking about it is maybe being like a lifelong learner. No matter the topic, it is important for your mind and your success to continue to educate yourself. Now, doesn't that sound a little preachy? Haven't you heard that before? Be a lifelong learner, educate yourself, continue to take in new information, build up your mind. Think about it this way, or maybe here's an example for you. What if you were making a change in your workplace? You know, for example, putting in a new system. Now, a system could be technology, but a system could be process also. Do you just let your people sort of figure out what to do? Or do you train them on the new process of the technology so they're efficient and effective right away? And maybe you measure that in some way. Or how about this? You've been a supervisor and you've just been promoted to a team leader. Wouldn't it be really handy if you had some approaches to actually know how to lead people and develop your soft skills to help lead and manage your people even better? Don't you think? I think that would be pretty cool. Maybe you've dreamt of having your own business, being an entrepreneur. You know, you plan to take something that you know that you're an expert in and build it up into your own business. So maybe in that case, you might want to focus on building your business brain power. Just might be a little bit important. There's lots of scenarios we could talk about in terms of training and development. We could talk about your health and fitness, or how about healthy employees? You know, maybe you want to actually invest in health and fitness and taking care of one another at your workplace or at home. All possible scenarios. So you can sort of guess what we're going to talk about today. Training and development and a little bit on performance management. Maybe a few other topics turned in there too. And the impact it has on you and your life and your business with my guest, Donna Adamanchuk. Donna Adamanchuk, yes, principal consultant and civility expert, benefits and beyond. Donna, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Did I get the last name correct?
You got it bang on.
I got it bang on. I did pause, though, in the middle of it.
But that's okay. It's kind of a long one, so it's kind of a long breather.
It's actually a really cool name, to be honest with you. I sort of thought it was pretty good. In terms of, I guess, Donna, the first way I'd like to start out, or in terms of what we're going to talk about in terms of training and development, tell us a little bit about yourself.
For sure. I've been working in the field for over 10 years. It's something that really interests me. I'm just naturally a person that likes to learn. I enjoy taking something that I think is kind of interesting in myself and saying, how am I going to learn it? I've signed up for more than one course to sort of say, why not just take it and move forward? So I really am that person when you talked about the continuous learning.
Yeah, the lifelong learner.
The lifelong learner, yes. So at work, we, Benefits and Beyond, we work in the area of really strong instructional design. And from there, that transforms into strong results in the business. But on a personal side, I just absolutely love to travel and I love to do triathlon.
You like to do triathlon.
Yes, so, that's how I spend my time.
So, in case for our listeners, if they don't know what a triathlon is, what is a triathlon?
That is swimming, biking, and running.
And where do you like to do that?
Well, as my friends would tease you, I don't really like to do any races here. I usually like to go away and travel with them. But, you know, all throughout the province here, we have a great Triathlon Manitoba organization here. So St. Malo, Pinawa, there's all sorts of great ones around here to do throughout the province.
And how long have you been doing that for?
6 years.
6 years. Oh, so this is something you've gotten into quite recently and trained on.
Yes.
We'll still use that in the training development side of the equation. You mentioned about, we were talking a little bit about your business. Before we dig deep into that, let's talk about your career background. Because one of the things I always like to share on the show is the roadmap of somebody's career. I mean, you started somewhere and you ended up where you are today. What was that road like? Like, where'd you begin and how did you get to where you are?
For sure. Well, I remember in university, I remember looking at that wall of jobs in commerce and saying, there's a job, I need to apply for it. I'm not sure where I'm exactly going to end up, but you have to give it a chance. So I just always remember the idea that I knew what kind of things I wanted to do in a job. I didn't really know what it was. I knew I wanted to work with clients. I knew I wanted to train them. I knew I wanted to be accountable for myself and my financial rewards I got from work. So started off in the insurance industry as an account manager, and so many things that I learned then I use today, like the business acumen, the ability to body language, the ability to teach people new products, new information, explain difficult things, have difficult conversations. I find for myself, it's actually, that's my strength, is all the things I learned in my time in the insurance industry.
And that's pretty amazing, because that is actually quite excellent training if you do spend time in the industry. I remember I had a friend of mine that from that industry, I put it under the umbrella of the financial industry, insurance,
yes,
right? And he gave me a book one time. It was Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Am I the Best of Them All, I think it was called. And it was written specifically for the insurance or the investment,
yep,
industry, and going through, and I did read it. And I thought, you know, that actually was a pretty good book, because the stuff in that book taught you or talked about all the things you'd learn in that kind of career.
That's right. And in that arena, I was the one who was actually training the advisors on how to do group benefits. And so my background's always kind of been in that HR arena, right? So, you know, at one time training and development, or today kind of more performance and learning, it used to all be under that one umbrella, but it's actually quite interesting how things have actually moved in the industry. And I think where they're going to go in the future, you know, it's what we see today. I don't think it's what it's going to look like, and it's going to look like 10 years from now.
Now, when you say in the future, because we started off with the insurance thing, are you talking about in the insurance industry, or are you talking about in the training development industry?
The training and development industry. It's a, yeah, good clarification. Yeah, no, in the training and development industry, I think like where things are and how technology, and like last night I was at an event and it was all on, everyone was bringing tips and tools on new technology and how we're using them and what impact they have on the learner's experience and how the person can actually, what they take away from it.
That would be interesting. You know what? I bet you I know what organization that was.
Which one was that?
Canadian Association of Professional Speakers.
It was with Institution for Performance and Learning. Yes,
there you
the
go.
Training, the
there
T&D side of it.
So we sort of give them a little plug for both those organizations. You know, it's interesting, and we should maybe talk about that a little bit, because since we are going to talk about training development, and we're going to tie it back into people's businesses, whether they're small businesses or big businesses.
Definitely.
But just being invested in organizations like the two that we just mentioned would definitely benefit professionals.
For sure. Well, one of the first forms of kind of that engagement concept is, do I always have to know why I'm walking into a room or why I'm starting a conversation or what I'm going to learn, right? So both those organizations are a wealth of such great experience. And I don't know, when you walk into the room, you don't really know what you're going to leave with, right?
Yeah,
and
there's always
there's
that little
so
nugget.
Many, there's always a nugget if you're open to it, and that's just like learning, right?
That is totally learning. You know what we're going to do?
What's that?
We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about training development and performance management and really just trying to become the best possible person that you can. This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with my new best friend. Yes, I always like to say my new best friend whenever a guest comes on from Benefits and Beyond, Dwana Adamanchuk. And there you go. See, bang on
you
with the last name.
Time,
I got
yes.
it. I nailed it. I always like to joke with people about their last names. I don't know if I'm being insulting or not, but I think one of the things when it comes down to people's last names, it's always probably one of the most difficult things to pronounce.
It definitely is.
You know, because you get, you know, even mine, like my last name is Lannan. Very
yes.
straightforward, you know, it's the way it's spelled and everything. I get some doozies,
yes.
you know, and I'm sitting there going, well, just put a line right between the middle of it and split it up and away we go.
One of my favorite things is actually to put the information into my phone and put the speak function on and listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm not quite sure if I'm introducing someone somewhere or doing something, I kind of do it at the last minute so it's at top of mind. So it's
a little training
tip for people who are just sort of not
like
as...
Like me.
There's so many... It's such a challenge, right?
Yeah, I know.
It's just one of those things
in
life.
It's one of the little things. It's the other little thing we do too, and this is really between myself and my spouse. And yes, we are going to talk about training development. We sort of are, but it's meeting people in meetings and that, and you get all these names. Periodically, my wife will actually lean over to me and say, her name is Nancy, or his name is Fred, or whatever. And I have to admit it. I mean, I have this little voice, my spouse, that sometimes tells me other people's names just to make sure I've got it cued in, especially if I've traveled a lot. Then because I meet hundreds and hundreds
of people.
That's
like the Devil Wears Prada, right? That's that one spot where the person's role was to remember everyone's name and walk behind her and whisper them in her ear
there
as
you
she's
go.
Walking.
Oh,
so.
There you go. There you go.
Could be
not
a job.
Not a job for me.
for your wife.
Probably for my wife. Just before the break, we had been chatting a little bit about what was going on in the training and development world, and particularly you started speaking that you thought some of the trends and some of the changes mm-hmm. were going to happen. Maybe that's where we'll start off.
For sure.
Where do you see some of the trends in the training development world
For sure. The first one is to realize is the concept of is definitely technology. That's the obvious one you would expect to hear, is that people are looking for ways to make training accessible 24/7, available when they need it, right? So organizations and colleges and universities are looking for ways to do that. So it's about making it interactive, making it engaged, making opportunities for you to interact with it. But the other thing I find is the concept of micro-learning. We live in a world where we get so much coming at us in short spits that we expect to learn that way. So one of the things I like to incorporate is, how can we introduce the concept of micro-learning into our daily activities?
So what is micro-learning?
It's learning in under, it's opportunities to spend less than 10 minutes on learning something. So in an organization, if you wanted your team to sort of slowly pick up on something or sort of start to incorporate something, you could introduce a training program that goes in where they get 10 minutes of it every day.
Okay.
You know, it comes in, it comes online. That's where the technology and that goes together. There's a site called Highbrow, and it's one of my favorites. If there's something I want to learn, I can just go in and type it,
and then you can just like
automatically
get
comes
lessons.
In. And when I'm ready for it, right? You know, under 10 minutes, people have time for that. And we make time for those types of things.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you would say that, because using the whole word of time, and I know that I think anybody professionally, maybe personally too, life feels very accelerated.
Yeah.
You know, and I was responding to a LinkedIn blog post and point about the importance of learning faster, and that especially with artificial intelligence and things are coming on. And it's interesting when you start to read that kind of stuff, because the whole idea that you got to learn faster than artificial intelligence is I equated it to John Henry hammering at the mountain, you know, and if you remember the song, the words of that song, a man is nothing but a man. And the idea is that the steam shovel beat the man over time. Right.
Right.
And so it is something that, maybe we're not going to talk about today, but when it comes down to learning and artificial intelligence and how quickly you have to learn, it's in the future something we seriously have to think about.
Once you make it part of your daily activities, though, and it's something that you want to get into, you're more likely to pick it up without even realizing that you're doing it. But when it's not part of how you approach your day-to-day activities, you know, it's sort of like going back to things we enjoy doing. If it's not part of your day-to-day, then it's difficult to sort of get your body into that natural rhythm of doing it. And I think that's what happens with learning, and why people are, I don't do that. I know everything I need to for today in my role. But if we sort of just small pieces, we don't even realize what's happening to us. It's just very slowly it starts taking over how we choose to respond to something, act to something, do something. We think about it. It's like, oh, I read something about that.
And then you process it maybe in the future. It's interesting you would say that, because I've attended many courses throughout my career. I've attended many courses throughout my career, and sorry about that. That was just my cell phone going off. Anybody listening, and would be actually my son, you know. But we'll deal with that one later, and we're not going to take it out, no doubt. Basically, you know, you walk away from these courses feeling a little bit overwhelmed.
Yes.
You know, like somebody teaches you 10 or 15 things that you need to do, and suddenly you're stressed.
Yes.
You know, like you're feeling anxiety going, oh my gosh, look at all the things I got to do.
Yes.
When really, maybe there's only one thing you really need to do.
Yeah, I think when we're presented with a bunch of different concepts or ideas of like, you know, here's our four or five different approaches or 10 approaches, I think when you do leave, it's like, okay, which ones can I apply and in what situations? That's the question I'd like to ask people when I'm working with them and designing things is, okay, we've covered this today. Which one applies to you, and actually where do you see yourself applying it in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to, like, you know, I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to need to learn or practice this before I go, right?
Before you do it.
Yeah.
Before you do
so,
it.
So, you know, to make those conscious choices.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I go through that too. One of my interests outside of my regular working world, now I'm a professional trainer too.
Yes.
So you and I both are in the same profession.
Yes, we are.
Is personally, I play guitar, right?
Okay.
It's a space that I go into that's relaxing and
yes.
everything. But you know what? When I decide I want to play a new song, I hear something and say, I want to learn how to play that. I can never play that song the first time, right? I never can. So I got to go through it in very rough form, and then I got to break it down. I got to learn a little piece at a time until I'm actually, and if I didn't break it down, I'd never be able to play that piece.
Right.
And that's sort of
that's
how
exactly what it is
it
that we need to do. But so many people, I don't know if we want, and so many people, they just say, well, just show them how to do it at the end. And I'm like, but it's like climbing stairs. It's those small pieces, right? We need to take the people through that journey. And maybe when they start, they don't know where they're going to go. But as the person designing it, as the organization in that, you need to create that path for them. You need to know where everything's going, what that end result of something actually is, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting you would say end result, because you definitely need to have an end result and the outcome that you're looking for.
Yes.
But it's project management backwards. right?
Yes.
Know where you want to go and then figure out all the steps to get there and
yes.
make them little tiny steps.
Yes.
You know, maybe what we'll do, and I know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break. But when we come back, I think what we should do is we should talk about approaches to training development. What do you think?
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we will be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lanham for Set for Success, working on helping you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, and life. And what a show we've been having today. You know, training and development is an important part of our existence today. Everything just changes so rapidly. We have to find very unique ways to actually start to learn, be it some of the things we've been talking about in the first segment, either a macro approach or a micro approach. Call it mini learning if you want, pulling up big, small pieces at a time. All sorts of ways in which we can actually look at our learning. So that's what I'm doing today, speaking with my guest, Donna. And Donna's from Benefits and Beyond. And Donna is basically a training development expert in the field, in a couple of different fields in terms of training development and performance management and several other areas. We're going to continue our conversation, figure out exactly how you and maybe your people can work together to sort of start to deal with any complex issues that you have in your organization. Maybe you're just looking to make some changes yourself and looking for areas to focus in on approaches in terms of training development for yourself too. Why not? It all applies. So when we return, I will continue my conversation with my guest, Donna Amanchuk, Adamanchuk of Benefits and Beyond. And we're going to continue talking about training and development and being set for success. This is Richard Land, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I am hanging out with Donna from Benefits and Beyond, and we're talking about training and development. Just before the break, Donna, and my crossover, you know, sort of the halftime of the show, if you wish, if you're listening in, we were talking a little bit about sort of macro. I'm going to put it macro versus micro training, so
yes.
I'll put it in that. And we started talking a little bit about outcomes and then approaches, the steps you would take. So maybe that's a good place to start. If we were talking about training development and, you know, an organization or an individual wants to start working on some stuff, what are maybe some of the approaches they should consider taking?
Yeah, definitely. I often find people like, what are we going to do in the training room, in the classroom, whatever that may look like in your organization? And I always say, let's go way back, you know, let's go back to the simplicity of what you're doing today, which is asking questions, right? Like sit down and ask questions. Assume you don't know the answers to questions that may seem straightforward to other people. When I was doing medical training, I'd have to ask what a resident was for one medical clinic to another because they just What do they have and what information are they allowed to see, right? Don't make assumptions that I know what something means in your company. So start asking questions is my first spot. And then usually from that, you'll find that there's gaps on where you are today and where you want your employees or where your group to go in the future, right? Do you need to attach training and development to your organizational goals and strategies that you have going forward? So it all needs to link. Like people want to be accountable and people want to know how things link. So we start asking questions. We figure out where people are today, where they need to go. And then from that, the next part really is to design the learning objectives. What do the people actually need to do? And when you start talking about macro to micro, we need to make things very specific about what we want someone to do. And that's, we often don't create the learning objectives until after the design of the program, and it's the learning objectives, and then you go into the design, because if the learning objectives are clear, you understand the gaps and how things are connected, you understand how things are going to be measured, what's going on, because you've done all the questions. A good designer is a person that can ask lots of questions, and actually someone who does tons of interviewing can be a really good instructional designer. And then you start designing it. And then from there, the rest of it in the classroom is all backed up by, you know, it's not like you've sat there and done a bunch of statistics from that perspective, but the stuff in the room is all based on all this other data and conversations that you've had, right?
Yeah, it is a form of analysis. It's interesting, something that I've noted. And so I've been in the consulting field for over 30 years.
Yes.
And in that 30 years, I've seen lots of stuff. I don't know if I even should say this kind of stuff on the show. People go, this guy's old. You know, not completely. I just got a lot of business experience, I guess, and ready to do something new. No. But I found a big transition in terms of the question answering the time period. Sometimes I'll get requests, for example, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit, you know, could you come out and do this workshop for us? Or could you come out and do this training on this? Where our idea is we want leadership on something, right? But then when you ask for an actual meeting to talk specifically about you want to achieve, they don't have time for it.
Well, they don't have time, or they give you someone to talk to sometimes that isn't actually the person who's directly related to what's going on. So you talk to someone and you think they've given you a key person in the company who can speak on the realities of what's taking place. And then you get into the presentation or training environment, and you can get caught off guard. And there's nothing worse than that. Then you're
disconnect.
Like, well, that disconnect, and you're like, oh my goodness, if you planned it properly, your session's all planned around those points.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yes, I have. And yeah. I've had it happen a couple times, and it's like, I did what I know should work. If you get the wrong contact at a company.
Yeah, or you're given the wrong objectives.
The wrong objectives.
I want to share a little story on that.
Sure.
And I do want to go back to the approaches and steps and that. I mean, it's something we can break down. But I think the worst I ever had that happen was I was doing a session with 40 people in the classroom one time. And so basically the session was really in the area of analysis, what we're talking about and how they could change and improve the organization.
Yes.
Just before I went into the session, I guess the CEO had brought everybody together and said they were downsizing the company.
Oh, that's
horrible.
They were
probably going to get rid of 50% of the people. So I'm in a classroom. Everyone was really nice, but boy, oh boy, I'm talking about growth and development and opportunities and everything. And they're sitting there thinking, you know, am I working tomorrow? And nobody told me. And it was the worst experience of my entire life. One of the really bad professional ones anyway.
Well, that does happen, right? And it's too bad someone didn't share with you that it took place, because then at least you could have just switched your message or tone just a little bit, right?
Or not show up. No,
or not show up if they're downsizing.
I'm just kidding. No, I wouldn't do that. That would be highly inappropriate.
But those things happen, and people don't. It's that communication. It's that planning. You know, it's that happens.
Not just once. You talk specifically about linking your training development to your strategic plan.
Yes.
Do you in organizations, and I'm talking anywhere from small business to larger organizations, do you see that organizations do that effectively, or do you see that there's a bigger gap there than it should be?
I see that there's likely a bigger gap, because even though some organizations understand it and kind of work towards something, but I do find that it's not as connected as it should be. We are doing sometimes smaller pieces of training, and it doesn't always connect to the end. It may connect to maybe a specific department or what a specific manager is looking for. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. When it does connect and it's all there, it's very easy to create that image and consistency, because, you know, the president or a director in a certain department may come in and be part of the training, which is always an important thing, to come in and give a message, you know, showing interest in the training that's going on, right?
Given all the experience I have in the background, I have to agree with you on that. I mean, I've seen it good, bad, and the unexpected.
Yes.
And I have watched the CIO or the CEO come into a room, you know, basically state what the problem is and what the solution is to that problem, and really asking people to be engaged.
Right.
But I've seen the other side too, where, you know, nobody shows up and nobody delivers that message.
You
know? And so I agree with you in terms of the challenge. I know one of the other areas that we wanted to talk about, and I guess you gave a good solution to that challenge too, was you've been involved in this whole area called civility. Did I get that?
Yes.
Did I get the name right?
Yes.
Real quick, in terms of definition, what is civility in the workplace?
Civility is the way it's more than saying please and thank you and smiling. It really is the way we choose to think and act and behave, you know, towards each other. So it's really wanting to be part of the team. It's about being accountable, about being engaged, and about really looking at how you fit into the process. You know, how can you impact the group, like that larger organizational goal as well, right?
Yeah. And I think that's extremely important. It's not just always about the details. It's about the macro side. You know what? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I think we should unravel this whole idea of civility in the workplace. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Richard Lannan, and you already know that. Yes, I now feel like I have to say the name of the show, Set for Success at 680 CJOB. And you know that also if you've been hanging out. And I have been hanging out with Donna. Now, Donna is the principal consultant and civility expert at Benefits and Beyond. So I did want to mention that because we've been having a great conversation in terms of training development and the stuff you were doing. I did want to mention the civility stuff because I started reading up on this stuff online. I'm going, really? This is something that quite exists? And I was surprised, right? I mean, how often in society, Donna, do we talk about civility?
Yeah, we don't really talk about those words. We talk about other things, right? We talk about why people show up on time, if people are showing up ready. We talk about if people are, you know, when they go to a meeting, are they there to listen or are they there to be heard? Are people open to things, right? So the concept of civility is really about creating a workspace where people feel like, you know, they're accountable. They work on a team that's accountable. It's about working with, looking at how it is that you can be engaged and as a leader, how you have an engaged workforce.
Yeah. Now, one of the things is I often like to talk about people in certain respects. I mean, I have a certain model I like to work with, like most business people that do similar work ourselves, right? And people and culture are one of the components or what I consider an impact zone in terms of any organization. One of the things when I started reading up on your material, I noticed that there was some discussion around civility, culture, compasses, and everything.
Yes.
So what is, I guess I'm just going to ask, what is a civility culture?
Right. So the that's with when I that's through civility experts, and that is really looking at different components to see kind of where your natural strengths are and how you show up and what how you show up in regards to your civility and how you show up. So the thing to consider though is really is with civility is that it is really the depths of how we treat each other, right? It
okay.
is truly
okay.
the way of it's understanding how you and I interact, right? It's about being open to wanting to be, we both need to be respectful of each other and then how it is that we can build trust, right? Within each other and within the workplace.
Create a relationship. I've always loved that statement, like you know you trust you work with you. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, right?
Yes.
And I know, I think it comes out of the sales world, actually, like you know you trust you buy from you.
Yes.
But I always like the work with you component on that one.
Well, if you trust somebody, you just work so differently with them, right? Like, you know, when you give them something or you pass something to them or you're part of together, you know they're going to get it done, right? It's engagement levels go up and results for the company, the goals go up, right? From that perspective.
From that perspective.
Yes.
And I guess you link it back too. Now, I find the word civility quite interesting because when I started reading up on the first thing I thought about was really how I carried myself at my dining room table.
Okay.
Now,
yes.
We're a pretty casual family, so you can imagine that. You know, there's not a lot of formality in my household.
Yes.
We show up at dinner at the same time. That's
yes.
part of the deal and that. But then, you know, maybe that is a good analogy though, right? I mean, it's you know, how do you treat people at your dining room table is the way you treat them at work.
Well, the thing to think about is that we want to make people comfortable, right? And that's the thing about civility. It's not about the brand of clothes or who you are or what you're wearing. It's about if you are really living a civil person, you want to make the people you meet comfortable and relaxed. So it doesn't really matter if they know exactly which knife and fork to use. That's not what civility is. Civility
yeah.
is about being comfortable. So it's when you're sitting down with your team as a leader, it's making people comfortable so they can come to you and express questions to you. And when people come to you with questions, that's when people can learn, right? So we definitely think about the mannerisms, but civility is really about the concept of just making people relax, making people comfortable.
So how does that equate to, I guess there's two questions, actually. One part is, in terms of organizations you've experienced, I mean, what we're suggesting here is that there are organizations that are challenged with their civility.
Yes.
Okay. And they could be far more successful if they increase their civility.
Yes.
So with organizations that are challenged with what we're going to refer to as civility here, what does that organization look like? What do those challenges look like?
Well, some of the challenges can be just how we actually show. Are we accountable? Do we commit and do what we say we're going to do? Or do we just sort of say yes and because that's what somebody wants to hear, but we never actually do it, right?
The old yes man type
yes
thing.
Man.
Yes person.
Yes, they continue to move forward. It's the concept of, do I know that if I am not at a meeting on time and someone needs me there, that they're going to have to wait? Do I understand that when I have negative thoughts about my coworkers, it really does impact the way that I will interact with you, right? So if it's what we think impacts more about what we do and how we and what It impacts what we actually end up doing, right? If I think negative thoughts, how am I going to do something positive? How am I really going to be open to you, right?
Yeah. I think that, I have a ton of these little things. What you think is what you think is what you feel. What you feel is what you act. What you act is the results you get.
Yes. That's a good one. Yes.
I got a whole bunch of these written down somewhere. I started
memorizing
them.
Right now, you're just reading, memorizing them, right?
Yes. Yeah, those were those mini 10-minute lessons that we talked about over and over again. And I learned it a while ago. It's interesting that you would say, use the example of the time one.
Yes.
And right away, I had this vision of a business associate of mine. And it's a he, is always 15 minutes late. You know, like every meeting you go to, you could actually show up 15 minutes late yourself, and he may be just getting there.
Right.
Or you could show up 17 minutes late and he's just getting ready for the meeting.
Yes.
And you're just like walking into the meeting, right?
Right. So what impact does that have on the rest of the group? What is that set? That's just a tone within the organization, right? So if it can be 17 minutes or 15 minutes late for a meeting, what does that mean about when reports need to be done, when people need answers, and how does that transfer to your customers? And I think of customers as internal and external.
Yeah.
And it just kind of all connects. So yeah, the civility work is with civility experts, and that is another organization.
But, that you're involved in. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
You can reach me on my website is benefitsandbeyond.ca or by email at Donna, which is D-A-W-N-A at benefitsandbeyond.ca.
That's a great place to get in touch with you. I was just thinking as we were talking, and I know that we're sort of moving into civility a little bit more. I was thinking about a presentation I was doing as an organization some years ago.
Yes.
And they were a cell phone culture.
Okay.
And it was quite fascinating. It was the senior leadership team and the junior leaders. And so I'm doing the presentation. This is a big presentation that they had to make a key business decision on. And they kept answering their phones during the presentation, getting up and walking out and taking their cell phone. And this was like a multi-million-dollar decision that, I mean, they were large enough that the multi-million-dollar was significant enough that it would have a negative impact on their business if they didn't make the right decision.
Yes.
If they couldn't focus on that. Is that an example where civility might be awry?
Well, I think it's just kind of understanding where you might just need to take a time out, right? And give some focus to this and what the end result is, right? If they'd probably just spent a little bit of time focusing on that, and they might have got to their answer quicker, right?
They might have got their answer quicker. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success. And yep, we've been working on your roadmap for your business, career, and life. And this today in the area of training development. Yeah, and a few other areas too, I guess. It's sort of all linked together. So I've been hanging out with my guest, Donna, and Donna Adamanchuk, and Benefits and Beyond. And we've been talking a little bit about training development. Mm-hmm. Donna, if you had like a final message or thought for our listeners, what would it be?
My final thought would be that before you really start training, start asking questions, really figure out what's going on in that workspace and understand what's taking place and why it's taking place before you move forward, you know, connect the dots and then allow your staff and team to sort of bring those dots together for themselves. But we need to ask questions before we design. We design and then we ask questions, and it doesn't produce the results for the organization or the employees.
Yeah, Band-Aid solutions don't work.
Band-Aid solutions don't work.
Yeah. So that's a great final thought. So Donna, thank you very much for hanging out with
me
today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for becoming my latest best friend.
Excellent. Thank you.
Excellent,
we appreciate it.
As for the listeners, you know what? You know how to connect with me. It's richard@setforsuccess.ca. If you have an idea for a show, you want to send me a note, want to comment on the show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And always remember to be your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.